We'll get to these in a second. Well, this morning we are continuing in a sermon series called The Good Life. It's a sermon series where we're asking ourselves that question, what does it mean to have the good life God intends for us? Well, what are the things we need to get right in our lives if we are going to be truly blessed? And over the past few weeks, we've talked about some of the topics that are most important. We've talked about faith, we've talked about money. And this morning we come to another one of those important topics. It's the topic of forgiveness. You see, Jesus clearly said that you couldn't experience that good life, you couldn't experience the blessings of God unless you figure out forgiveness. What does it mean? How does it change us? How does it give us that good life? We're going to look at this question, but before we do, I'd invite you to join with me in a word of prayer. Have thine own way, O Lord, have thine own way. For you, O God, are our potter. We are your clay. Melt us and mold us. Make us and use us. Have thine own way. Amen. Well, in his 1985 best-selling classic, Love in the Time of Cholera, Nobel laureate Gabriel Garcia Marquez tells the story of a young married couple that got into a disagreement one evening over the domestic duties of the household. Now, Marquez says, being a more traditional family, this couple assigned most of the domestic duties to the wife. She was in charge of stocking the cupboards every week with food. She was in charge of making sure the endless cycle of laundry was done day in and day out. And she was the one who made fresh coffee every morning, and she was the one who put a fresh bar of soap in the shower every evening. Marquez said she did her job, and she did it very well. But then one day she forgot. And she forgot to replace the soap in the bathroom in the evening. Her husband saw the oversight and instantly made a snide and pointed comment. He blew things out of proportion. He says, "How could you forget the soap?" He said, "I've been bathing a week without any soap whatsoever." Well, instantly the wife became defensive. She vigorously denied forgetting, although truth be told, she had forgotten to replace the soap. But at this point, her pride was at stake, and she refused to back down. The argument escalated from there. The couple went back and forth, getting louder and louder and louder, the emotions eventually bubbling to the surface. For the next 7 months, they slept in separate bedrooms. And they ate in silence. Marquez said their marriage never fully recovered. In fact, he wrote, even when the two were old and placid, the couple was very careful about bringing up the incident with the soap. For the barely healed wounds could begin to bleed at any time, as if it had only been inflicted yesterday. You see, that's the problem with pain, after all. Once pain is inflicted, it doesn't go away. Oh, sure, you can try to diminish the experience in your mind. You can tell yourself it really doesn't matter all that much, that eventually you'll get over it. It's just a bar of soap, you say. It's just a cutting word. He didn't mean it. It's just that look she gave you before she went to work. I'll get over it. Of course, sometimes we don't get over it. Sometimes we hang on to it. I guess you could say there's a weight to pain. It's a weight that you can't feel on a scale, but but if you're experiencing it, you know it's there. It's a heaviness that you take with you. Every morning you wake up thinking the exact same thing. Every night you go to sleep replaying that same memory again and again and again. And you could get rid of it. You could let it go, but instead you don't. Now instead, sometimes you pack it away. You save it for use later. That joke he made when you were out and everyone else laughed, but you didn't laugh because it was hurtful? No, you tell yourself, you can't get rid of that one. You never know when something like that could come in handy later. Or that time she said she would be there. She promised you she would show up, but then when the moment came, she wasn't there. Better not let that one go. You never know when it could come in handy. You see, you tell yourself in the moment it's not that bad. You tell yourself it's not that heavy. You tell yourself you can hang on to that. But of course, the longer you go, the heavier and the heavier those memories become. The full weight of the experience. Well, it adds up over time. So a man said once, you know, I haven't talked with my brother since mom died. He said, my brother's mad at me because he said I wasn't there at the end. But of course, I'm mad at him because he wasted all her money and I paid for everything. And he wants me to apologize. Well, I'm not going to do it. After all, what do I have to apologize for? Now, sometimes the longer you hang on to these memories, the heavier and the heavier they become. The great American Catholic scholar Richard Rohr once said, pain that is not transformed is transferred. Which is to say, whatever weight you're carrying, whatever memories you've latched onto, you've stored away, well, it's not only affecting you, it's affecting everyone else as well. Pain that is not transformed is transferred. You see, it doesn't go away. It doesn't go away on its own. Instead, the only way for it to go away is when you finally realize you have to deal with it. You finally realize you need to do something about it. And so Jesus once said to his disciples, when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar. And first go and be reconciled to your brother and sister. Now imagine that. You're in the middle of a church service. You're in the middle of the most important hour of your week. And all of a sudden you remember. Now what do you remember? Well, you remember that, well, you're not perfect. You remember that other people aren't perfect as well. You remember that weight that you've been carrying for so long. You've tried to forget about it, but sometimes in church, that is a place where you remember. Fred Craddock once said, coming to the altar each week is the most dangerous thing we can do. And why? Well, he said, because at the altar, we're not defensive or self-protecting. When you come to the altar, you're vulnerable. You're open. You're not impressing or being impressed. You're not convincing or being convinced. You're not comparing or being compared. He says, no, when we are here at the altar, we are just before God. And sometimes when you're that open and that vulnerable, well, sometimes that is when you remember. Yes, Jesus said, if you come to the altar and you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there at the altar and first go and be reconciled to your brother and your sister. What does a good life look like? Well, Jesus says it is an unburdened life. It's a life where we realize that we don't have to carry that weight anymore. It's a life where we recognize our own failings, and it's a life where we recognize the failings of others, but it's a life where we are willing to offer grace enough to cover both. You see, the good life is, I'm sorry. And the good life is, I forgive you. The good life is not hanging on to these painful memories, taking them wherever you go. The good life is setting them down and recognizing this is not a weight God ever asks us to carry. See, God says, I want you to be free. God says, I want you to be free. Adam Hamilton, the pastor of Church of the Resurrection out in Leawood, Kansas, tells a story of a man he was counseling one day who came to him expressing a difficult relationship he had with his father. The man said, Pastor Hamilton, you have to understand, when I was young, my dad was, well, he was verbally and emotionally abusive to me. He said, but when I got older, especially during his last few years of his life, I actually had to come and take care of him because physically he wasn't able to take care of himself. And well, truth be told, it's a real struggle for me now. See, my dad and I, we never really talked it out. This man who made my life so difficult, and here I am caring for him at the very end, I never really made it through the emotion of it. The man said, but you know what I did? He said, after Dad died, I waited a year. But then a year after he passed away, I decided I needed to take charge. And so I went to his grave and I took with me a lawn chair and I took with me a ham sandwich and I took with me a bottle of wine and I sat out there all afternoon. And Dad and I talked. And I poured two glasses of wine, one for him and one for me, and I expressed everything I had wanted to express to him for so long. I told him all the things that had been hurtful to me when we were younger, and then I told him I forgave him. And then I asked him to forgive me for all the things I had done that had been hurtful to him. And you know, since we talked, he said, since we talked, things are a lot better. They're so much better. As Jesus says, you don't have to carry that pain any longer. You don't have to drag it with you wherever you go. You can leave it at the altar. You can leave that pain right here. Because you are forgiven. And God gives you the strength to forgive. You see, the truth is, you're not perfect, and neither am I. But then there's grace to cover us both. Through God's grace, we are forgiven. Through God's grace, we are set free. Yes, this is a good life. I'm sorry. It's the good life. It's I forgive you. It's the good life. It's never picking it up again. Thanks be to God that we never have to pick it up again. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you that you have set us free. For freedom, you have made us into new creations where we can let go of those pain and those memories of the past, and that we can set our hearts and minds on you, remembering that indeed you have redeemed us, renewed us, and strengthened us. So Lord, as we have been forgiven, help us so to forgive. Lord, help us to let go and to be made new and to always trust in you. And for we offer this prayer in the one who offers us forgiveness, not seven times, but 77 times, Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.